McGraw-Hill Ascent Audio presents Put Happiness to Work, 7 Strategies to Elevate Engagement for Optimal Performance by Eric Karpinski. Foreword by Sean Aker. Narrated by Christopher Duyard. Publisher's note: the print and ebook versions of this book include visual elements. You will hear the visuals discussed and referenced in this audiobook. Foreword by Sean Aker. In good times at work, happiness can seem like a luxury item, but in challenging times, we recognize it as a necessity. We are in an unprecedented period of change and upheaval in our workplaces. While painful and disorienting to experience, this upheaval also creates a once-in-a-generation opportunity to rewrite how we do our work, to make it more humane, more fulfilling, and less like the stereotypical, soul-deadening experiences of work portrayed in pop culture. In short, we have a unique opportunity to make workplaces happier. Put Happiness to Work provides a powerful vision of what work could be like: deeply connected groups of dedicated, energized people who find meaning in what they do and support one another to achieve challenging goals. That may sound like an unattainable dream, but 20 years of psychology, neuroscience, and organizational behavior research show that it is possible. To make lasting change, we need to carefully distill complex academic research into concrete actions and work routines that you can implement to create happier, more engaged workplaces for you and your team. And we need ideas we can start using today in the midst of raising our kids and navigating changes to the economic and political landscape. As with any period of massive change, there are risks and opportunities to our world, and this book helps you navigate them. With the stunningly fast rise of remote work, we risk creating more isolation, loneliness, and disengagement as people lose opportunities for casual in-person connections. Or we could apply the research-backed social connection tools in this book and create flourishing teams full of connected workers. We can let the increased demands of globalization, the fast pace of change, and the unknowns of our uncertain and complex work environments create ever-increasing levels of stress and powerful negative emotions. Or we could apply the tools in this book for rethinking stress and working with negative emotions to learn what those emotions are telling us and utilize all that energy to move forward and work toward our goals. We can let the increased diversity of our workforce, not only in race and gender, but also in ways of thinking and connecting, cultural background, life experiences, strengths, and values, cause fractured workplaces that perpetuate the inequities and polarization in our society. Or we could apply the strengths and coaching tools and Put Happiness to Work to ensure that everyone can bring their perspectives and ideas to the problems our teams and organizations face. Through our work at GoodThink, a positive psychology research organization, Eric and I have collectively worked with hundreds of organizations, from schools to government, nonprofits to corporations, including nearly half the companies in the Fortune 100, and in more than 50 countries across the globe. We've led thousands of programs to bring the best that research has to offer to create positive differences in people's lives and in their work. I can say with certainty that Eric understands the research and the complexities of the modern work environment. He has a decade of experience in the trenches with real managers and real teams struggling with the challenges of implementing positive change. And he's pulled all that experience, along with an in-depth knowledge of the research on happiness and engagement, into a book that can change workplaces tomorrow. Put Happiness to Work is full of specific tools you can apply, habits you can develop, and exercises that create long-term change in how you and your team approach your work and each other. Best of all, it builds on whatever strengths you already have, amplifying and cultivating what is already working. We all know that information alone is not transformation. Put Happiness to Work will provide a path for creating positive change, a supportive culture, and engaged teams who are motivated and inspired to work together to achieve whatever you put in front of them. It's in your hands to make your work a happier, more engaging experience. My hope, like Eric's, is that this research will empower us to move past this painful period toward a world of work that is better than what we're leaving behind. Chapter 1. Happiness Drives Engagement. Organizations have spent more than a decade and billions of dollars trying to engage employees in their work. And with good reason. The data tying employee engagement to increased productivity and bottom-line results is rock solid. Yet over a decade of focused effort has had very little effect on actual engagement numbers. In fact, in the United States, Gallup's Engagement Index, the gold standard for measuring employee engagement, has remained stubbornly within a 5-point range of 30% since 2000. There's a reason for this. Our approach to employee engagement is all wrong. Engagement is simply a measure of activated positive emotions at work. The formal definition of engagement is full of positive emotion words like inspired, enthusiastic, proud, and fulfilled. And many of the activities proven by research to increase engagement are also known to increase certain activated positive emotions. Throughout the book, terms can also be found in the glossary at the end of the book. Yet in most workplaces, we are told to leave our emotions at home, that we should suppress our feelings because they are not professional. But the very root of the word, emotion, is motion. Emotions move us to action. By eliminating or minimizing or hiding emotions in the workplace, we are taking away our most basic motivation for action and the most powerful engagement driver we have in our management repertoire. As managers and leaders, we compound the challenge by focusing our engagement discussions primarily on the performance outcomes we want to see. The reason engagement is important is that we want our employees to be committed, proactive, and willing to go the extra mile. So it is no surprise when you set the goal to be more engaged. What employees hear is, "We want you to work harder without paying you more money." Ironically, yet unsurprisingly, this often leads to lower engagement. The challenge is that the majority of employees don't care about their engagement. When they were kids, they didn't think, "Gosh, I sure hope I grow up to be engaged at work." They don't organize their lives around how they can increase their organization's net promoter score. It isn't even front of mind for them while they are at work. It is employers, not employees, who think about engagement. But happiness, the amount and frequency of positive emotions, is something employees do care deeply about. An informal survey of over 2,000 employees across North America asked, "Which of the following would you be more likely to invest time and energy in, your happiness or your engagement?" Over 80% chose happiness. This book is about tapping the intrinsic motivation your people have for increasing their own happiness as a tool to increase their engagement at work. In other words, this book is a way to make sure that everybody, employees and employers, wins. Definitions of happiness. What happiness looks like varies, of course. What makes people feel happy is as individual as their fingerprints. Yet at the core of so many human behaviors, and often the driver of how employees feel about work, is this question: how can I be happier more of the time? The stereotype of happiness is a high-energy, bubbly, bounce-around-the-room, high-five-giving, extroverted emotion. But in this book, we use happiness as shorthand for the broader experience of all positive emotions: joy, hope, interest, contentment, serenity, love, and enthusiasm. It also includes feelings such as pride in a job well done, positive connection with others, curiosity about how to solve a problem, gratitude for the support of a colleague, or inspiration from someone's idea. There is room in this definition of happiness for everyone who likes to feel positive emotions, which is pretty much every human on earth. Not all happiness is equivalent, though. The ancient Greeks described two different philosophies around happiness. The first is hedonic happiness, which focuses on maximizing the experience of pleasure and positive emotions, personal comfort and ease, while working to minimize negative experiences, negative emotions, discomfort, and pain. Unfortunately, pursuing hedonic happiness traps us into constantly needing more and better things and experiences. As we adapt to the good things in our lives, they become familiar and no longer provide as much happiness as they once did. We think something is wrong and expect it will improve if we just get a better house, a better car, or a better partner. Psychologists refer to this as the hedonic treadmill. In workplaces, hedonic happiness can look like massages, beer carts, and pool tables, and it often creates an arms race situation about who's the best employer. The second Greek philosophy describes eudaimonic happiness, which centers around the pursuit of meaning, challenges, and growth as the primary path to happiness. It includes a willingness to forgo some short-term comfort and ease in the pursuit of something bigger. While seeking pleasurable experiences has a place in all our lives, it is the pursuit of eudaimonic happiness that is the focus of positive psychology and this book. Happy doesn't mean happy all the time. Short experiences of positive emotions interspersed throughout the workday or month is all that's necessary to make positive difference in engagement levels. And it's not about trying to suppress or eliminate negative emotions. They provide important information and direction, and they are essential for making the best decisions as a team. Instead, it's about finding a balance, what we call rational optimism, where we recognize the real challenges and problems we face, but with the knowledge that we can influence outcomes and make a positive difference with our effort and focus. Rational optimism allows us to recognize opportunities for positive change that our more pessimistic colleagues never see. Aligning desire for happiness with engagement and performance. The past two decades have seen an explosion in research both in positive psychology, the study of what makes people not just function, but thrive, and employee engagement. After a decade of studying both, it is clear that positive emotion is the waymaker to engagement. It is the key that unlocks the kind of engagement organizations have sought and that has eluded them, even after investing considerable time, energy, and money. I've spent the last decade on the front lines working with organizations such as Facebook, NASA, IBM, Genentech, SAP, T-Mobile, USAA, Intel, and Eli Lilly, bringing this actionable research directly to their teams. I've seen strong engagement results from bringing a training focused on boosting positive emotions at work into organizations across the globe through the Orange Frog training program. Orange Frog provides a full-day experiential training based on Sean Aker's book, The Happiness Advantage. Here's just a small sample of results. After receiving the training, the BSO division of CEMEX, the world's largest producer of cement, saw a 20% increase in its engagement scores, the largest increase of any division in this 50,000-employee company. A major insurance brokerage division saw its engagement results increase by 14%, which created a 50% increase in sales and a decrease in attrition from 12 to 3%, with annualized savings of over $1 million. The faculty and staff of Genesee Intermediate School District in Flint, Michigan, showed significant increases in key engagement contributors such as, "I feel connected and committed to my organization," 50% increase. "My organization cares about my growth," 40% increase. "We receive recognition for our efforts," 90% increase. And "my organization encourages feedback, suggestions, and opinions," 50% increase. In 2017, Genesis Health System, a six-hospital health system in Iowa, was facing a profitability crisis, and it underwent two rounds of layoffs. Integrating the Orange Frog training against this negative backdrop, it was able to increase the number of its employees who were very expressive of optimism at work from 23 to 40%, increased the percentage of people who were happy at work from 43 to 62%, and reduced the number of people who were burned out often from 11 to 6%. And this positive outlook spread to the patients, as patient experience scores doubled in the following 12 months, transforming a $2 million operating loss into an $8 million profit. In this work, I've seen over and over again how activated positive emotions drive team engagement. Why engagement efforts fail. This book addresses three of the most significant traps that await organizations hoping to increase employee engagement. Not articulating any clear personal benefit in engagement. When we position engagement as a path to organizational success, employees don't buy in because there's nothing for them in the short term. They hear that we want them to be more committed, to give discretionary effort, and to be proactive and persistent in reaching organizational goals. See the right side of the diagram in Figure 1.1, all of which sounds suspiciously like a request to work harder. There might be explicit or implicit promises of more money, a promotion, or something else, but these are not strong or consistent motivators. The problem with engagement is that it is not something you can do to people. They must be active participants. Instead of focusing on the attributes and benefits the organization gets out of engagement, we can choose engagement efforts that bring more positive emotions into work for employees to help them feel more valued, inspired, enthusiastic, and fulfilled in what they do. We can make their happiness a priority as the path to engagement. That is a much more motivating prospect in day-to-day work, and exactly what you will learn to cultivate in the 7 strategies in this book. Focusing on the wrong kinds of happiness. The second engagement trap that organizations fall into is thinking that if their people are content and satisfied at work, engagement will follow. We've all heard stories of incredible perks offered at some companies. I led a talk with 500 recruiting leaders at Facebook headquarters, where I found espresso machines and free snacks on every floor, along with nap pods and massage rooms, ping pong and shuffleboard tables, and high-quality cafeterias that served 3 free meals a day for all employees. These perks absolutely drive positive emotions, such as contentment and satisfaction, and are great for recruiting. The problem is that not all positive emotions are created equal when it comes to driving the engagement outcomes organizations want. These rest and digest types of positive emotions, satisfied, relaxed, tranquil, content, do not actually drive engagement. See the left side of the diagram in Figure 1.1. They are the general good feelings your people may have about their workplace, but they don't translate into real motivation or move people to action. These aren't the emotions to invest in if engagement is your goal. Instead, we want to use tools that will increase the amount of activated positive emotions that drive engagement. We want to focus on areas where employees' desires to be happy and leaders' goals of having engaged teams are aligned. See the center of the diagram in Figure 1.1. Not integrating engagement efforts into daily work. Engagement efforts often sit off to the side as a function of the human resources department, a temporary company-wide initiative, or an afterthought. At annual survey time, everyone thinks about engagement and wants to know how they are doing. The results prompt a flurry of conversations and activity to get those engagement numbers up. But then, the real work gets busy again, and everyone falls back into old patterns of how they've always done their work. Nothing changes in a meaningful way. Throughout Put Happiness to Work, engagement-boosting tools will be placed directly into the hands of everyone in the organizational hierarchy, providing them opportunities to create lasting positive change themselves, not as a short-term initiative or demand from the top of the organization or HR department. These strategies are designed not as hammers to make your people productive, although they will, but instead as tools that will support them feeling happier at work, experiencing more energizing positive emotions, and getting the real work done in a more collaborative, connected, and efficient way. The tools in this book will bridge the desires of all your stakeholders, building a professional ecosphere where long-term engagement is generated through activated positive emotions. These 7 accessible and research-backed strategies will increase both employees' happiness and their engagement, aligning organizations and employees' interests. The 7 strategies. After researching many strategies, and testing their impact with hundreds of teams, these seven strategies emerged as the most fertile ground for creating impactful and sustainable positive change, and they make up the majority of this book. 1. Hardwire authentic appreciation. 2. Cultivate connection. 3. Put stress to work. 4. Activate employee superpowers. 5. Mine for meaning. 6. Embrace the negative. 7. Approach as a coach. Chapters 3 through 9 will each focus on one strategy and provide specific tools and step-by-step instructions for effective implementation. These strategy chapters are designed first to take you through the core research and rationale of how that strategy supports both increased happiness and engagement. Each strategy chapter is full of ideas that will move you and your team to action with practices that easily develop into new habits. Most importantly, each strategy chapter will show how to ensure that positive emotions aren't just a nice-to-have, but instead lead work. This focus on habits is designed to create long-term, sustainable change in an organization, rather than a passing flavor-of-the-month activity. By integrating and hardwiring a few of these seven strategies into everyday work, you won't have to rely on motivation or willpower to keep the focus alive. You will learn habits, personal, one-on-one, and team, that will rewire your brain and those of your team members for more positive emotions. Each of these habits has strong research proving its effectiveness in making long-term, sustainable change. A series of single-use exercises you and your employees can use personally in one-on-one and team gatherings to prime everyone with positive emotions. Choose those that best match the needs and characteristics of your team. These habits and exercises will be marked throughout the book with the symbols shown in Table 1.1. While years of research have shown that these seven strategies can significantly and reliably increase your team's engagement while providing healthy doses of activated positive emotions, this is the first toolkit for effectively integrating this approach into real-life workplaces. Happiness and engagement will become core values, sitting at the very center of work that all employees, as humans, enthusiastically embrace. Targeting two primary groups of employees. As we think about our teams, there are two primary groups to target. The first is made up of the people who are simply not engaged with their work. They show up to work, take care of things they are supposed to, and do what is expected, but they don't go above and beyond. Occasionally, they get inspired by something, or sometimes they get stressed, but in general, they spend most of their time in a non-activated state. They might be a bit bored and apathetic, or they might be content and satisfied with work, but not motivated. See the left side of Figure 1.2. As long as they don't feel their job is at risk, they will keep cruising along. Gallup calls this group not engaged and estimates it encompasses 52% of the U.S. workforce and 67% of the workforce worldwide. This is the group that is going to respond best to the positive emotional arguments of this book. Almost everyone wants to feel more happiness. Remember that 80%+ from the survey mentioned earlier? So tapping into five of the seven strategies that really focus on increasing activated positive emotions is where to put your effort. Strategy 1, hardwire authentic appreciation, increasing a culture of appreciation. Strategy 2, cultivate connection, creating more social bonds. Strategy 4, activate employee superpowers, finding and utilizing their strengths. Strategy 5, mine for meaning, finding meaning in their work. And Strategy 7, approach as a coach, having you support their efforts as a coach. The second group includes those who spend a lot of time activated, but by negative emotions and stress. See the right side of Figure 1.2. This group has plenty of energy, but it's being wasted on non-productive activities and trying to avoid or manage their stress and negative emotions. In this book, you will learn how to redirect the energy inherent in stress and negative emotions to move toward your goals and how to help your teams do the same. Two strategies are directly relevant for this effort. Strategy 3, put stress to work. And strategy 6, embrace the negative. If the second group sounds like your team, I'd recommend you start first with one of the other strategies, one that provides additional resources that will enable you and your teams to transform that negativity into positive results. Connection, strategy 2. Strengths, strategy 4. Or meaning, strategy 5, before diving deep into strategies 3 or 6. This will give you a base of positive strength to move from when tackling the more challenging worlds of negative emotion and stress. The backstory. Before we dive into these 7 strategies and learn how to implement the tools described within each, let's explore where these ideas came from. How employee engagement became the business world's holy grail. During the latter part of the 20th century, researchers at the Gallup Organization, using qualitative focus groups, tried to find the characteristics of successful employees, managers, and productive work groups. They were looking for human resource strategies that managers could use to influence their employees' productivity, organizational profitability, and employee turnover. By 1997, they had consolidated their research down to a 12-item survey called the Gallup Workplace Audit, GWA, which is now their primary tool for measuring engagement and is known simply as the Gallup Q12. The paper that changed the world. While there were some minor mentions of engagement in business and academic publications prior to the 2000s, it was a paper by James Harder, Frank Schmidt, and Theodore Hayes, published in the Journal of Applied Psychology in 2002, that put work engagement on the map. This paper looked at data from nearly 8,000 business units encompassing nearly 200,000 employees from 36 companies across many different industries, comparing their engagement scores on the GWA/Gallup Q12 against traditional business outcomes like profit and productivity. This meta-analysis showed that increased work engagement significantly improved customer satisfaction, productivity, and profit, and decreased employee turnover and workplace accidents. Never before had a single psychological measure, in this case, employee engagement, been so clearly tied to powerful business results. Over the next decade, engagement became the must-have business tool for thousands of organizations, and consequently, it also became the central driver of Gallup's business consulting wing, growing to over 2,000 employees and spawning similar programs at HR consulting firms across the world. The Q12 has now been administered to over 30 million people worldwide. Deloitte estimates that 70% of organizations measure engagement in some form, and the market for employee engagement products was $1.5 billion in 2012. While Deloitte no longer publishes updates to these figures, a recent report from the Star Conspiracy, a B2B marketing agency, estimates that the total potential market for engagement software products tops $74 billion, and that the estimate for engagement measurement is expected to grow from $600 million to over $6 billion. Happiness arrives in the business world. Near the turn of the 21st century, while the Gallup Organization was focusing on engagement, another researcher was starting a revolution of his own at the University of Pennsylvania, just across campus from my own studies at Wharton. During his tenure as president of the American Psychological Association, Martin Seligman started asking an important question. What if we studied what was right with the world instead of only what was wrong? He made a strong case for why we should not only be studying how to fix what's broken in the human mind, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and other psychological issues, but also studying what's right in the human mind. He proposed that researchers spend some portion of their billions of research dollars to study the 10% of the population living what Aristotle called the good life, a life full of positive emotions, meaning, engagement, and positive relationships. Seligman helped the research world imagine a time when we could distill the secret.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?